Season that we're in. Kind of a unique season right now. Kind of almost Thanksgiving and almost Christmas. The other day I was going to Walmart. I needed to get something out of the I was actually looking for some bullets out of the sporting section. So I went in through the lawn and garden section, thought I could get in, get out, and come on through. And before I could get in the door, I was stepping all over Christmas stuff. I mean, they had Christmas stuff strewn all over the place. And I got grumpy. I'm going to be honest with you. So what, this folks don't understand, this is Thanksgiving. And I got a little attitude, just to be honest with you, I did. It's like we just forgot it. And I got to driving down the road, and the attitude carried on. Somebody pulled out in front of me, 25 yards up there. Now it made me mad. Usually it's got to be within 25 feet, but now it's 25 yards. Now I'm mad about that. People can't drive all over the road, don't have signals, you know, back and forth. The devil was on me. I mean, the flesh was starting to rule. All because Walmart decided to put Christmas stuff out before Thanksgiving. And I just said, pause and stop for a minute. Is this even right? Am I even thinking right? So I started looking around through the Bible. Because, you know, I'll tell you something, friend, this world's not going to encourage you. Many times your wife or your husband's not going to be able to encourage you. There's times that your Sunday school teachers won't be able to encourage you. Choir, I'll just be honest with you, as good as you sang today, young choir, as good as y'all sing today, it touched my heart with the message, the songs that Brother Jim picked out this morning, as good as they were. To be honest with you, choir, sometimes you can't encourage me. I come in here with a weight on me something, and I forget that I need to cast my cares upon the Lord, for He careth for me, and I bring them in, and there's no encouragement found, even with amongst good godly people.
You're right.
Just simply stating a fact here today. Well, but I look to the Lord, and I look to what He's done.
Yeah.
And I think about all that He's done for me. All the worries and cares and the thoughts of this world seem to just pass on. And I can find some encouragement. I can find some strength. I can find the ability to step on another step forward. So I started looking into the Word of God. I said, God, I shouldn't be mad that Walmart's trying to make money. I shouldn't be upset that Walmart's putting out Christmas stuff. I mean, after all, we as Christians scream high and low, let's keep Christ in Christmas. Here, Walmart's putting it out early. So I started looking in the Scriptures, and I found this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 15. And I began to look at it, began to ponder upon this here verse of Scripture. It's a very small verse, but it says so much. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, the Bible says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Sister Barbara started pondering on that thought. See, the Canadians had Thanksgiving October something. What was it, Sister Donna? Second Monday of October. They was a little smarter. They beat Halloween. They got in front of it. I was reading a prayer letter for one of our missionaries today, and they were talking about over at over there where they were at, they already had their Thanksgiving service and meal and time of fellowship back in the early October. And I was thinking, here's a verse of Scripture that was written years and years ago that kind of encompasses both of these holidays in one. And so I began to look at this, thanks be unto God. There wasn't no Thanksgiving turkey and football and all that in Paul's day. They didn't gather out there and have wrestling matches on Thanksgiving. There was no such a thing. It was just a thing that something went about inside of Paul that had a change that caused him to be thankful. And he was thankful for something, and it was the unspeakable gift. Now listen, why not give thanks that we can begin celebrating Christmas, I guess, a little bit early? The birth of Christ, before Thanksgiving ever comes. Because to be honest with you, many times in our life, dear friend, we are not very thankful. We're not. I'm just going to tell you, there's times, dear friend, that I begin to think about, man, Lord, I wish I had the same physical ability, and I don't have to wear a reading glass anymore. These things are getting worse and worse. They're not even helping hardly anymore, and I'm already up to a 225 here, and you know, I'm going to have to go up sooner or later up to a higher one, you know, unless the Lord changes something here. But I got to, Lord, I wish I had the same ability when I was 18 years old. I remember getting a physical to go in the Army, and the guy told me, he said, you got 20/20 vision, perfect vision. I said, well, I already knew that. I could see everything was before me. And I wasn't even thankful for then. But now I'll tell you right now, when the eyes are fading, you get a little bit more thankful.
Sure.
I remember, you know, being in high school, and we had the program for football, and you had to lift four different weight things, you know, bench, incline, deadlift, and squat. And if you got above 1,300 pounds, man, the football coach, he would give you a t-shirt you could wear. It says Iron Man Club. Now, I wore that thing all over the place. I don't even think I ever washed it. I just wore it. Once I made that Iron Man Club, it said 1,300 pounds. Everybody on the high school campus knew what that meant. I was trying to lift something the other day. It was a 5-pound bucket of oil over there. Brother Chris needed some oil, some hydraulic oil, and I bought a 5-gallon bucket. I started lifting that thing up over there. I was like, my soul. I began to become thankful for the strength that I had left in my body. Some of you looking around this morning when you drove up in the church parking lot and you saw somebody else's car and you started saying, man, I wish I would have had that. I wish I, you know, that was my car. And we're just simply not thankful that you even drove up on a car.
Yeah.
You could have walked this morning. You could have took a bus. You could have been riding on a bicycle over here to church this morning.
Yeah.
So ere before there was a Thanksgiving turkey and a pardon of turkeys in Washington, D.C., Paul said, thanks be unto God. Well, I got to looking on that scripture, Brother Scott, and my heart began to sink. I said, man, I have done wrong by God and His grace and mercy by being muttering around, upset, bothered that somebody else would decide to put Christmas stuff out in their own business. I mean, it's their business. Do what they want. They can leave it out. They can put it out there tomorrow and leave it out to the next year in December. And it should be okay. Why? Because some of you left your Christmas lights up last year. You're just going out there changing bulbs up there. So you're doing it. So why can't Walmart? Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. So I asked myself three questions. I began to think about this. So, you know, three little simple questions. First, who is this in this passage of Scripture that's being thankful? Of course, we know the writer was Apostle Paul. We know that he was the one that was the human author. God used him. The Holy Spirit moved upon him. And as he began to write these things, and Paul finished out this verse, this chapter, chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, he says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. So I begin to ponder and think about this Apostle Paul. You know, Apostle Paul didn't wake up saved. Apostle Paul wasn't born into this world, born again. The Apostle Paul, matter of fact, when you know the history and study and you look through the Scriptures, Apostle Paul was a persecutor of the church way before he was a preacher of the gospel. But yet he was a very religious man. I mean, he was very religious. By the fact, his own testimony, Paul says, Pharisee of Pharisees. Speaking of the law, Paul said, I'm blameless. I mean, I've covered it tic-tac-toe, and I've crossed my T's, and I follow through there, and I'm blameless when it comes to this here thing of the law. But yet he wasn't thankful for what he had. He wasn't thankful for the knowledge that he had gained. He was looking and searching for other things, very religious, but yet lost. And I'm afraid that there's many in America today that are very religious, but yet lost and dead in their sins. And they know about Christ and the free pardon of sin, and they're going to die religious and spend eternity in hell. Paul's conversion dear friend, on the Damascus Road there in Acts chapter 9 changed everything for him. The Bible teaches us that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away, all things become new. You notice there in the beginning of Paul in the scriptures, as Paul was a persecutor, one that wreaked havoc in the church and the early Christian's life. But afterwards, so dear friend, Paul became thankful for the very ones that he persecuted. He said, I find no greater joy than I find my children serving God. There's a change that took about. It wasn't because Paul became friends with Peter. It wasn't because Paul became friends with those folks up in Antioch and Barnabas, which was a very godly man, a very man that was a comforter and an encourager, one that pushed on. The change wasn't brought about because of those guys. It was brought about because on the Damascus Road, he realized that he was dead before Christ, and his religious mind and his the knowledge that he had about the law was not enough. It was a void that was left there, and he was a sinner before a holy and righteous God. Now, how do you know that? He said, because I was chiefest of sinners. Yes. Chiefest of sinners. But on that road to Damascus, he come to a point and realized all the works, all the knowledge, all the law, all the zeal without knowledge, and all the persecution that he could bring about to change the world into a world of following Judaism wasn't enough. It had to be Christ and Christ alone. And that change worked about in his heart, because for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. Not with the knowledge in our head that God is good. Thank God that you know who God is. There is one God that is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And knowing about God is good, but dear friend, you can die in your sins and knowing about God without Christ in your heart, your eyes will lift up in a place called hell. So I begin to ponder that. Look at it. What changed this persecutor into somebody that was grateful and thankful? Salvation by faith. Move Paul from religion to redemption. Dear friend, let me tell you something. When you realize, when the God of this world, the sovereign God of this universe, stepped out of heaven, manifested in the flesh in the form of Jesus Christ, lived a holy and righteous life without fault, without sin. And he walked upon this earth amongst men. And he went to the cross of Calvary. And he borrowed a tomb. And 3 days he laid there. And on the third day he rose again. And he, knowing that you were a sinner, came after you and accepted you like you were, because you put faith in Christ and said, God, I am sorry that I'm a sinner. And you repented of the way that you live. And that Christ, as you were a sinner, received you unto himself and made you alive in himself. I tell you, dear friend, moving from religion to redemption changes a lot of things. It'll make you excited.
Yes.
It'll make you thankful.
Yeah.
I remember growing up and being raised in the United Pentecostal movement, and I had a desire to know Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And I went and even talked to the preacher. I went and talked to a couple of deacons, and they told me I had to come on down to the altar, and I had to pray through. And my Lord, I prayed and prayed. They racked and wooed, and they moved on me. And you know, I was trying to get this here thing, what they called a gift of speaking in some unknown language that nobody could understand except me and God, except they knew when I did. I didn't ever understood that. How did they know if it was a misunderstood language? How did they know I done got it? It's a good question, ain't it? Yeah. Only the select can tell. Finally, they said, come on, you got to get on up from here. We've been down here praying through for about 34 minutes. You ain't getting it. Sinner beyond hope, I suppose. Then they told me I had to be baptized in Jesus' name. And I'd come up out of that water, and I would speak in this unknown tongue. And boy, by faith, I went in there. That preacher baptized me in the name of Jesus. Came on up. No unknown tongue. None. And I said, my soul, What kind of God in heaven would make it where you have to do it yourself? And I got bitter. I had no use for religion. I had no care for my own soul after that. One day a preacher was preaching. My wife and I were married. Man, things were not going good. Okay, if it wasn't God and it worked in our marriage, dear friend, I can see myself probably dead or married 5 or 6 more times to somebody else. It was bad. I'm just going to tell you, it was bad.
Amen.
My wife and I really say, we need God. So we started looking, man. We visited every church we could find. I visited Presbyterian churches. I visited Methodist churches, Catholic churches. And I went into the Catholic church and knelt down with them. I didn't even know what I was doing. I just did it. I was like, man, what am I doing? I was spinning my wheels. I went to Assembly of God Church, and man, they weren't running through the same ordeal, except they told me after, if I did ever get it, I could lose it. I said, I can't even give up on my keys. I've lost children. How am I going to keep up with the Holy Spirit? I can't see Him. We found this old church on the old back side of the road back there. They'd coming by picking up them bus kids every Sunday. They were my neighbor kids. And man, those neighbor kids was some naughty, naughty kids. I mean, naughty. And I went over and I told my wife, I said, if any church would pick up them kids and bring them to church, I have got to go to that church. So I went over next door and asked the man, it was a sergeant at the time, I said, hey, sergeant, where will you go to church at? He said, I ain't going to church nowhere. I said, I see a church bus come by here. I said, I send them kids on. He was glad to get rid of them. He told me where it was at. I went over there, dear friend, it was a double-wide trailer. They'd gutted. I said, oh, my Lord. Is this church, honey? She said, well, we're here now. So we went on in. Man, that preacher began to preach. He began to show things in the Bible that the Bible really said. He began to show me Scripture. It wasn't trying to do this yourself because it's not by works. It's not by religion. It's a done deal by God the Father who sent His only begotten Son, and whoever died on the cross, whoever believed in Him who died on that cross was Jesus alone and rose again the third day shall have everlasting life.
Yeah.
I went back that Sunday night, that Wednesday night. I didn't trust Christ the first time I heard, but I was amazed that He was showing me things out of the Bible. Wednesday night, He was preaching through an old New Testament book. I didn't even know who the preacher was. Probably Hosea. I began to think, why in the world, Hosea? What kind of wife did he have? He's preaching through there, and the Holy Spirit of God touched me on the heart and said, If you don't get saved, you don't trust Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, not that this is some religious things and activities, you're going to wake up in hell, son. Came down that Wednesday night. That preacher took down and nailed with me the Scriptures, showed me the Bible, and showed me that Jesus Christ died for me while I was yet a sinner. Showed me that it was a free gift by faith, then the faith was produced by God. And that the grace of God had appeared to all men.
Yes.
Not just a select that could look down into your mouth and see if you speak in some unknown tongue that nobody knew. But look, God appeared to all men.
Everybody.
I told God that night I was sorry for the sins that were mine and mine only. I didn't blame my wife. No, I didn't blame my kids. I didn't blame the work. I didn't blame my Lord. I am a sinner before You. And Lord, I am sorry. And I accept what Christ did for me. Christ went into my heart, dear friend. And I got up a bitter, from being bitter, from being disgruntled, and it was a change of gratitude because Christ had come down on the auction block and bought my soul. This is what happened with Paul. And a change comes about. And we become thankful. In all things we should be thankful. And I asked, well, this person that was thankful was Paul. And what was he thankful for? For the gift of God. Now look over at me real quick over in Romans chapter 6, if you would. Romans chapter 6. In verse 23. This is a very familiar verse. I could have quoted it, and some of you could have quoted it along with me and followed along there and saw it. But I want you to see what this is saying, because too many times, dear friend, if we're not careful, we take Scripture and we become smarter sinners instead of better Christians and more Christ-like. We gotta get to the point where Scripture is real in our life, dear friend, that it's, we apply it and we put it into use, and it's part of what we know, and it's not just up here running around. Listen, we are not a library. We are ambassadors. Ambassadors. Look what it says, 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I began to see this man Paul, which was a persecutor, which was a person who wreaked havoc, a person who tried to work his way to God, turn his life over to Christ, move from religion to redemption in Christ Jesus, was made alive, and he became thankful for the gift that was given to us by God. He understood Ephesians chapter 2. It was a gift to God, not by works, lest any man should boast. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I know without a shadow of a doubt there's more in this auditorium today that could do a better job at explaining this here verse of Scripture, 2 Corinthians 9:15, than I could ever hope to do. But dear friend, if you're relying upon your orator skills and you're relying upon your ability to dissect Scripture and you're relying upon your ability to understand and to hide knowledge into your head, you will die in hell. It's about Christ. And he became excited and grateful because of what Christ had done. And here he is in that unspeakable gift. I got a challenge. You know all these crazy challenges people do. Ice bucket challenge, selfie challenges, black photo challenges, so many challenges I've seen out there. Push-up challenges and challenge. Here's the challenge. Stand up and tell me in 10 words and explain to me this unspeakable gift. 10 words. You know why God said that? Because words can't describe what Christ did for you. You can't do it in 10 words. It's impossible. It's just to explain it. And the gratitude of moving away from religious works and dead works and trying to do it and moving into redemption, realizing it was Christ Jesus who died for you and accepting Him. And now you're free in Christ, and you no longer have to be kept in the bondage because of the sins of your life and the tentacles of sin, that you can have freedom and liberty in Christ, dear friend. It should make you grateful. After Paul received the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, throughout his ministry, throughout his life, he was always making sure everybody he came in contact with understood that they had opportunity to have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Even whenever the Jews would stone him in one town, he would leave, and he knew he was sent to the Gentiles, but he'd leave and go to the next town, and he'd go straight into the synagogue because he had a concern for his brethren. He'd want them to know that Jesus loved them, that Jesus died for them, that Jesus would save them if they would just put faith and trust in Him and repentance toward God, they could have eternal life and move away from dead works. Paul's thankful heart made a constant giver of gratitude. You're not thankful for your spouse today, dear friend? You better look around. There's some Matilda Huns that you could be married to. There are some some Thunder, Texas Chainsaw Massacre guys that you could be married to. Mean. Just cruel. Walk in and they're mad at you because you can't even, you didn't even know they were coming home. Like they think you're some kind of mind reader or something. Like they get off of work at 3 o'clock early and then they get there at 4 and they expect supper to be on the table. And expected you to know it and go crazy on them. And you better just pause for a moment. Might not be the best one, but it's yours now. And in God, in Christ, in the middle of that relationship, it can be wonderful. Amen. It can be wonderful. A lot of it is if we're thankful for the other.
Amen.
Here's a good example. Have you woke up in the last 4 days and thought, man, I'm sure thankful for this. Not just simply I'm thankful for my husband. I'm thankful for whatever. Something particular. I'm thankful my wife can cook greens. I am. I'm thankful. Yesterday, I woke up trying to get this habit done over the last, I don't know if she knows the habit, but I've been trying to. I'm a tightwad. I'm going to tell you, I'm a tightwad. I don't like spending money at nowhere for coffee. Not when I can make a whole pot for 50 cents.
Oh,
it's ridiculous. Got to go down here to McDonald's and spend $1.79 for a cup of coffee that I can make I can make 3 days worth of coffee for that. By the last 3 months, I said, on a Saturday, every other Saturday, I said, honey, you want to get up and go to a cup of coffee? Because she likes these hazelnut lattes, non-fat, extra hazelnut with whipped cream type stuff on it. I get tongue-tied telling the woman what she wants. So they're going. So we stopped in at Winn-Dixie. Just see how things are going in Winn-Dixie. You know, that's a date. Yeah, it's pretty cheap. You got money, just go in. Walk the aisles. Forget window shopping, you can aisle shop. And they had a big old box of greens, Brother James, bigger than this. And I said, would you like some of those greens? I said, oh, I don't even see a price. She said, oh, it's 2 bundles for $5. I said, yeah, I guess I went and got them. Man, she cooked up greens yesterday. They were good. She put 2 pork chops down in it, Brother Eric. Whoa, oh, Lord. I'm thankful my wife can cook greens. I could be like some of you guys having to go to McDonald's every day. Because your wife can't cook water. I'm talking something particular. Have you thought about it? I'm glad that my wife wants to be my wife. I told you that Wednesday night. And not want to be somebody else's wife. Have you stopped and thought and think, well, I'm just not thankful. I'm just not having a good time at church no more. Oh, yeah. Have you stopped and been thankful? I'm so thankful that we have a Brother Johnson. I'm so thankful that we have a Sister Johnson. I'm so thankful that we have Brother James that comes. Have you stopped for a moment? See, I'm telling you something. It's easy to find dirt. It's easy to find wrong.
Right.
It takes somebody with a good heart to look into it and find something that's right. Is this a perfect church, Lord? No. You find a perfect church, dear friend, when you want to leave up out of here, please don't join it. You will ruin it. Same goes for me.
Yes.
If I was looking for another church and it had to be perfect, I would tear it up. Because there ain't nothing perfect in me outside of that good gift of God, Jesus Christ our Lord. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I ask these three questions. Who was thankful? Paul. Did he have reason to be thankful? Sure did. He was on his way to hell. Religious. Was redeemed by Christ. What was he thankful about? The gift. If you can't find nothing else in this world to be thankful about, dear friend, you know this, dear friend. If you are saved, you are going to spend eternity in heaven. I mean, you're going to spend eternity there. And so you have Paul, who was thankful. You have the gift of salvation, eternal life through Jesus Christ, and the giver. The sovereign God of this universe chose to give His only begotten Son, that if you just believed on Him and put faith in Him and repented toward God, that you could have eternal life and be called His child. And you could look up and say, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. See, sometimes we forget this. In the beginning, God. It's what Genesis 1:1 says. Did what? Created the heavens and earth, right? Dear friend, He could have wiped it all away and started afresh. But He came down in that garden knowing Adam and Eve had sinned. Found them. Talked to them about their sin. Clothed them in a picture of that sacrificial lamb and said, it's going to be okay. The giver. God could have started all over afresh. Well, how, no, I'm all right, you didn't believe me there. What about Jonah? I mean, Noah. What about Noah? He wiped everything off. Done away with it. Put some animals up in an ark. Put one family in there. Could have been done with it. He could have just tipped the boat over. So I don't even want to fool with Noah. Because you know what Noah's going to do as soon as this thing lands and he debarks? He's going to build an altar, find him some grapes, and make him some moonshine and get drunk. I ain't doing it. I ain't doing it. No, you know what he did? He let it go. That's the God we serve. See, the first time the gospel was presented to you, God could have moved on, but He didn't. He allowed opportunity after opportunity after opportunity for you to hear the goodness of God so that you could get saved and be His child. And I ask these things as I looked at them. Thanks be unto God for that unspeakable gift. Are you thankful this season? Yeah, I know Christmas is moving in on us. But why not be thankful? They could have left Halloween up everywhere for the next 4 months. At least they got it in, got it out. Put some little bitty, what they call them, corner cookie things. The basket with all the fruit in it. What's it called? That's what I said, eh? I'm about to get a turkey up here. They put some of them out, put a little bitty pumpkin out, but thanks be unto God. They put a little bitty, you know, things here and there about fall. So what if they move right into Christmas? Paul wrote about both holidays before there was ever an existence. Thanks be unto God. Thanksgiving for that unspeakable gift. Thank the Lord. Jesus Christ was born. I don't know if He's born on December 25th, but I do know this, He was born. I do know He lived a sinless life. I do know that He died on the cross of Calvary. And I do know that He rose again. And that resurrection is the proof of the power of God to save and to keep. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Pianist is coming. Perhaps you've been sitting there this morning and listen to what I've said. You're a religious person. Maybe you've been in church a while. Maybe you've studied the Scripture on your own. I don't know your situation, but you know. Never, ever has there been a time in your life you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died for you, rose again for you, and you called out by faith to God and said, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Perhaps you're saved, but just like me the other day when I walked in Walmart, seeing all that Christmas stuff around there, maybe disgruntled, unthankful, gave you an attitude. Maybe you've had an attitude too long. It's time for an attitude change. Maybe you need to have an attitude of gratitude. I don't know. These altars are open. I'll be right down front. If you need to be saved, come. Page, Brother Jim. 81.